You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
This episode is brought to you by Funnables. Funnables aren't just fruit snacks. Every bite your child takes is fuel to spark their imagination, taking them from a wild unicorn space mission to a deep-sea dive into a rainbow river. Funnables are made with 7.1% real fruit puree and are an excellent source of vitamins A, C, and E. So anytime, anyplace, make snack time playtime with Funnables fruit snacks. Have fun. Eat it, too. Visit FunnablesSnacks.com to shop now.
Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply. USAA.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
That laughter you hear and I just heard is Stu Gotts. I just muttered under his breath to Mike, "You're giving me kitna," as if he'd been given gold treasure chest pirate booty.
Did you hear what I gave Mike back in return
for
Kitty Cat?
I am going to tell the people. I didn't realize you guys were trading back and forth, but you're putting together two different top five lists. Stu Gotts' top five list is in conjunction, brought to you by Chris Whittingham. It is a top five list of quarterbacks who have had some years,
yes.
And Mike said it's much more fun to do quarterbacks who have had a year, and Mike just traded John Kitna away to Stu Gotts so that he could complete his list before we get to the quarterback evaluation that Stu Gotts has been wanting to do all his life. I want to read to you this quarterback evaluation from YouTube. Why do people think Justin Fields is good? He has 8 interceptions and 14 fumbles this season.
He's that guy.
You see the Bears without him? I mean,
who was that quarterbacking for the
Trevor
Bears?
Trevor Siemian.
Was it Trevor Siemian?
Yes.
I thought it was the shadowy remains of Mike Glennon because the game, I was barely paying attention to that game.
So Trevor Siemian was announced as a starter, but in pregame warmups, it was reported that he hurt his oblique. And so he was out for that game. And Nathan Peterman was next man up for Chicago. However, for the first drive, outran Trevor Siemian.
Yes.
Hurt oblique and all. So we were robbed of the Peter man.
It's hard to explain. I have never been so excited to not see Nathan Peterman. I mean, I wanted Trevor Siemian and I got Trevor Siemian and I was very excited about
it. So you were at least mildly afraid of Nathan Peterman running out there?
He's not terrible. I mean, he's Blaine Gabbert. I mean,
he is famous
terrible.
For performing.
He's like, famously terrible.
Famously terrible.
So is Siemian.
But Nathan Peterman is statistically. Okay, good talk. Thanks. I'm glad we talked about it. So John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson, Stu Gotts, are in, I won't call it a back and forth, but Lamar Jackson is doing something on Twitter that you do not see many quarterbacks do. And I don't know if the Ravens are slow playing his contract negotiations for reasons that have something to do with other than football playing the quarterback position. Because this behavior right here is rare for face of a franchise on Twitter. It's rare for this position to tweet after the game, and I think you guys saw the viral clip of a Ravens fan losing his mind after the Jags game.
That guy. Every week he tries to do that shit.
Yeah, he's killing a pumpkin, and he's trying to go viral with a hysterical reaction. And Lamar Jackson tweeted that out saying same, that that's how he felt after the game. But then he went back at somebody else, and I would advise quarterbacks and players on losing teams to just have a bit of a 12-hour social media cooldown period because of however it is your emotions are hissing on the frustration of losing the way Baltimore did to Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
But Jackson writes, boy, STFU, y'all be capping too much on this app. Never smelt a football field, never did shit but eat. And that's just not what you ever hear from a quarterback. And
or most people, I mean.
Agreed, but I would say that you get a lot of heightened talk emotionally from athletes in locker room after they've lost. Man, Stugatz, Antonio Brown was totally normal pillar of a person before whatever happened with him and his head and social media. And now he's sending out, you know, photoshopped pictures of Giselle Bundchen nude because he's doing God knows what with Tom Brady. But this app, generationally, Harbaugh is saying, please just get away from all of that after a game. And at the risk of my age showing, I would advise the same thing. I would advise these athletes, if not to stay away from the app, but stay away from the app if you can't control yourself on responses. Nothing good is going to happen for you getting angry at somebody on Twitter who's going to have the highlight of their existence be that they got you in trouble.
There's going to be criticism after a loss from Ravens fans, from people who bet on that game, from fantasy owners because he's not playing as well as he normally played in years past. And if you can't handle that, then you're right. John Harbaugh is right. Stay away for a couple of days. I'm just surprised Lamar Jackson can't handle the criticism. I'm not sure why and what I'm doing there, but I just figured he'd be.
Oh, but how big do you think this is all pressurized? No one's playing for money the way he is without an agent. Like, this is.
He chose that, though.
Correct. Yeah. But he chose. Okay. And
he was offered $250 million.
But it's pressurized, is it not? Like, what? Whether he chose it or not, yes. You're not confused by why winning games or losing games might be literally more valuable to him than any of the trolls trying to agitate him.
Is it that he said E to D? Like, is that the line that makes this controversial? Because to me, it's just a way of saying shut up to this guy. Like, I get it. It's a little immature, but if this is the worst thing Lamar Jackson does, this is not a big deal. Like, he got emotional. He told the guy to shut the hell up.
You're the CEO of that team, essentially, when you're the quarterback, and you're trying to sign a lucrative long-term contract. That's not the way you act, I don't think.
It's not going to stop him from getting. You think the Ravens aren't going to stop him because of a tweet? I mean,
I don't know.
It's an immature way to handle this, isn't it? Like, it's a way where, like, look, I would imagine that before Twitter, there was sports talk radio, and there was Stugatz on the air calling the quarterback a bum and callers calling the quarterback a bum and probably worse. And I imagine there was probably quarterbacks that would drive around in their cars that would listen to that and wanted to call in and wanted to say something to the host. And ultimately, every quarterback ever has had to deal with this, some sort of criticism. But like you say, it's the ability to reply to it, to actually see a face and a name to it. And I can understand sort of in a moment of great frustration, because it's not just that the Ravens are losing. It is the manner of their defeats. If you look up this season, they have led by an aggregate total of 151 points. They have trailed by an aggregate total of 25 points. So they are not losing games by much. As a matter of fact, they're more likely to lead by double digits than they are to be losing at any point in the game.
They have led by double digits in almost all of their games, I believe. And please look up the losses and the point totals of their losses, because you've heard me say before, they are really close to being the Eagles, to looking like the Eagles, feeling like the Eagles. And we wouldn't be talking about Stugatz, Lamar Jackson's having a subpar year if he was playing like Jalen Hurts, being careful with the football. But I want to address what it is that Chris Cody said, because I agree with you, Chris, that his play will determine whether he gets the contract or not. But face of a franchise stuff, getting in front of the microphones and saying, palatable mediocrity that doesn't get anyone in trouble, that allows you to just be a voice for a team that doesn't have very many stars. Led by an owner who said, pray for us, when he welcomed the Kaepernick backup possibility. I'm telling you that Lamar Jackson behaving that way on Twitter will make the people who run that franchise skittish about him representing them that way. Well, Harbaugh's putting his name on.
Well, they brought back Ray Rice. Mm-hmm. And, like, Deshaun Watson has all of his allegations, and he got a guaranteed $230 million. So, like, is a tweet going to be the undoing of Lamar Jackson?
I'm not making it the undoing. I'm saying Harbaugh is out here. There are a lot of stops between undoing, and they still haven't given him his money. They're still waiting. They're looking. They think something is going to be seen here in the last little bit that either makes him accept what they've been offering or not be worth. He's clearly putting his worth in a place that they're not putting it. That's already happened. And every game that he wins or loses is a referendum on whether he should get that money, because that's still how we're doing the quarterback evaluating at that position. Stugatz, we look at the Ravens, we say they don't have that much. They've got that quarterback. And how many years do they have that quarterback being a step better than as an athlete than everybody on the field?
How many more years, you're saying? Right. Is it five? Is it six? Is it three? Is it two? They're trying to evaluate that. I mean, listen, he's having... For Lamar Jackson, it's 17 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 2,200 yards. He hasn't missed a game. He'll probably throw for 3,500 yards, 4,000 yards.
In there. The rushing totals matter in how you evaluate these guys. It's why Justin Fields is now exciting in a way he wasn't.
Yeah, he has 755 yards rushing. He has 20 total TDs. He has seven interceptions. It's kind of in line with what Lamar Jackson has done throughout his career. But when you're playing for a lucrative contract and an extension, maybe it's not enough. I don't know. Maybe the 250 was enough, you know?
And to answer your question, Dan, the Ravens' losses this year have been by 4, 3, 4, and 1.
Yeah.
Also, the Ravens never brought back Ray Rice, which kind of undoes that argument.
But the Deshaun point.
Well, Ray Rice was averaging 3 yards a carry, and greatness does end up winning out. I'm just saying to you, as Lamar Jackson is making the argument of, you will pay me not just as the best quarterback in the league, but you will also pay me as a running back, as both positions, because I'm doing both things for you.
Right.
He's their leading rusher, correct?
Yeah. He has 755 yards. I would imagine that would put him in the top 20 in the NFL.
He's asking to be paid like one of the best quarterbacks, and also, I'm your running back. And pay me like it. And I'm not trying to make a big deal out of this. Harbaugh already has, by doing the rare thing of putting his name on after a loss. I've told Lamar, don't do that. Get off of Twitter. Please stop doing that. He didn't keep it in house. He didn't say no comment. He said, no, he has been reprimanded for this. He's been asked not to do this anymore.
Lamar is 12th in the NFL in rushing yards. 12th. I mean, it's amazing when you think about it.
When you say he's not having a great year, I believe you are still doing traditional math on how to evaluate quarterbacks. You're ignoring the rushing stats. I believe you're doing with Lamar Jackson. And I know it's not an MVP Lamar Jackson year, but would you be saying that if they'd scored one more time in those four games? If they'd scored a couple of more field goals in a couple of those games?
Probably not. And you're right. The measurements have changed for quarterbacks, where I'm not factoring in the rushing, although I should. He's 19th in the NFL in passing yards. He's just not your traditional quarterback. He did have that one year where it was like 36-6, where he won the MVP. And maybe I'm waiting for that again. But this is really, really good. And he's really, really good. And they've never given him a number one wide receiver ever. He does more with less than any quarterback in the NFL. He does.
Let's get to your top five list of quarterbacks who have had some years.
I want to be clear. I have a list of top five quarterbacks who have had some years. Whittingham has a top five list of quarterbacks who have had some years. Mike has a top five list of quarterbacks who have had a year. One. Okay? Just wanted to make sure we were all clear and on the same page there.
I also want to make clear that Meadowlark's number one World Cup podcast is back with episode 2 today.
Yes.
God bless football was indeed scampered and scurried together late at night yesterday through an assortment of Billy Gill juggling acts that made all of your recordings after we had done a complete show today come together. And Greg Cody, who is not here today because he was not feeling well, you can catch him and whatever promotions he's doing for the Greg Cody show featuring Greg Cody on God Bless Football World Cup podcast.
With Metal Greg Arcs. Cody.
Metalark's number one podcast. What's on there that's exciting, Billy?
Oh, it's an exciting episode, Dan. It's going to get you ready for USA versus Iran today. So I try to listen to it before the game. But if not, you can listen to it after and just see if we were right or wrong. We kind of made some predictions. We talked about the World Cup in general. We talked about men's soccer. And then we settled the debate. Who is the Christmas queen? Is it Dolly Parton or is it Mariah Carey?
I mean, we were in Greg's wheelhouse.
Put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Who is the Christmas queen? Mariah Carey or Dolly Parton? Who's doing the list then? Whittingham's going to do it. Number five, Whittingham, quarterback who has had some years. Number five.
Jake Plummer.
Ah, Jake the Snake.
Number five, quarterback Stu Gatz, who has had some years.
Rich Gannon.
Well, he was an MVP 1 year.
He had some years.
I mean an MVP, though.
He had some years.
All right, Mike Ryan, number five, quarterback who has had a year.
OLI, Elvis Gerback, nice. 2000. Mm-hmm. Brian Sipe, 1983.
Great year.
Number five, Lynn Dickey.
Oh, Lynn Dickey.
Wow. Brian Sipe only had 1 year? He didn't have several years?
He had several years, but 83 stands out amongst all of them.
I think he was top five at MVP.
Yeah. A year.
Brian Sipe was good for a while, though, wasn't he? By the diluted measurements of the day when they
you're thinking he had some years? I mean, is that what you're thinking?
I believe he's in the some years category.
Wow, he might be right, Mike.
Okay, yeah. Well, all right. Let's take him out of my OLI then.
Huh.
OLI or the OLI?
I got to check the stats.
Chris Whittingham, number four quarterback who has had some years.
Jake DeLome.
Very close to just having 1 year.
He was.
I feel like he had a year. I think that Mike should get DeLome. You should get Sipe. I don't know. DeLome had one Super Bowl year.
That's it, Chris Chandler, who's going to be on one of these lists.
Oh, he was OLI, too.
Number four, Stu Gatz, quarterback who has had some years.
Trent Green. Had some years.
Did he?
Yeah, he had some years.
I'm very happy with the rest of my list, by the way.
Wait a minute. Did Trent Green even have?
No, he had a couple of years.
He had some years, Dan.
Yeah, KC. Yeah. And he had a decent year with Washington that prompted St. Louis to sign him, and he would have had the Warner year. Mm-hmm. But he got hurt in the preseason.
Right. He had some years.
Kansas City, some years.
Yeah. Some good years.
What was that look you just gave Dan? Like, Dan, I'm telling you.
I'm telling you, man. I'm looking at his football reference page.
We don't have the same memory of the Trent Green experience.
Yeah, from 02 to like 06, some years. I mean.
The reason that I've dismissed Trent Green is because he's the reason that Kurt Warner exists. He could have been at the height of the greatest show on earth, and instead it went to a grocery bag boy. Kurt Warner got all of the years.
He went from that to being on my top five list of quarterbacks who have had some years.
Trent Green would have had that year.
Well, he also had a Dolphin year, and I believe when he was in Washington, the reason I've said that he didn't have some years there or anywhere is because he concussed himself while celebrating.
That was Gus Frerotte.
Oh!
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I left him off.
Oh, that is a fine.
Wow.
I have confused Trent Green and Gus Frerotte.
Yeah, the Dolphin year was not kind to Trent Green.
Green had a lot of concussions. Gus Frerotte had one famous one.
Also, both had bad Dolphins years. Gus Frerotte and Trent Green.
Well, the Dolphins were the Colts before the Colts were the Colts on getting all of those
Joey
old
Harrington.
Although, I mean,
Chad Pennington.
The quarterback whose careers we tried to revive were much worse than the ones who the Colts are trying to revive.
Jay Cutler.
Mike Ryan, number four quarterback who has had a year.
Proud of this one. Stan Humphries, 94.
Oh, wow. He did have a year.
Took the Chargers to the Super Bowl.
He had a year.
Number three, Whittingham, quarterback who has had some years.
Steve McNair.
Wow. Oh, wait a minute. Steve McNair was there for a long time.
That's a Hall of Famer.
Come on.
Blasphemy. McNair. I mean, come on, man. What's the matter with you?
Didn't he finish in the Heisman voting?
He had three seasons of more than 20 touchdowns. Well,
here's the thing, though.
You are disrespecting the late Steve McNair.
You are disrespecting him, and what he ushered in
terrible.
Whittingham, you're
being an MVP.
You're being disrespectful of McNair's career, and you're being disrespectful of another thing, which is McNair ushered in this entire era of the Titans will just strangle you to death every game. Like, they don't actually want to play actual football. They just want to strangle you until they run into that group of murderers that play for the Ravens, and then they're like, okay, never mind. But that era got ushered in.
Classic can't beat them, join them type thing, too, with Steve McNair. He went to Baltimore and then had a year.
Three seasons of more than 16 touchdown passes.
Yes.
I feel like that's had some seasons.
No, you're just young.
You're offensive.
Yes.
The game was different back
then. You're blaspheming.
Apologize to Steve McNair.
Take Gus Frerotte, okay?
You take Gus Frerotte.
McNair does not
Can
belong.
Can I swap him out for Kerry Collins?
These are just an excuse to make.
Less insulting.
Yeah.
Whittingham, you need to understand something about this game. You're a rookie. You're new to it. The point of this game is just to say funny names. And McNair does not classify
funny. I put him in just so that Stugatz could say Aaron McNair. That was the only reason why he was
very
there.
Very kind of you. Yeah.
Stugatz, number three quarterback who has had several years.
Dave Craig.
Mike Ryan, number three quarterback who has had a year.
Josh Freeman, 2012.
Wow, he did have a year. I thought he was going to be so good.
He had over 4,000 passing yards.
Fredo.
How many? That is not what they called him. How many touchdowns, Mike? Look up that season, how many touchdowns he had versus interceptions, because it's not just that he had 4,000 yards. Stugatz can be excused. Chris Cody, are you still laughing
That's
at the
joke.
Idea of Josh Freeman at quarterback?
It's a great visual.
Fredo, you're just
27-17. 27 touchdown passes.
It was early, though, right? Like his second season, something like that.
It was his fourth season. All and then he went to Minnesota and had the worst quarterback
worst Monday night game I've ever seen. Worst Monday night quarterbacking performance in the history of the sport.
He's also a patient zero with the Colts trying retreads. In 2015, Indianapolis kicked the tires, and he started a game.
He had six interceptions in that one season, 2010. And in his other 45 starts, he had 62 interceptions.
Well, but hold on a second. Mike was reading a different stat line. He said it was 27-17.
Right, because that was the year where he threw for over 4,000 yards.
Right.
What is the season you're looking at?
He had another Tampa season where they went 10-6, and he went 25-6.
25-6, but the better year is 2012.
Wait a minute, though, Mike.
So he had 2 years.
Mike.
The touchdown-interception ratio?
Mike, it sounds like he might be someone who had a couple of years, even though you're forgiven, because it did seem like he's had 1 year. But it sounds like if he had 25-6, that's another year.
Okay, yeah, that's a better year than what I had.
Several years.
Right. All right, so a couple years. Bad list. Bad Mike.
Give him the
Mike.
Witty. Yeah.
Whittingham, number two quarterback who has had some years.
Brad Johnson.
Not bad.
Big Bad Brad.
Yep.
On TikTok. Number two, Stugatz.
Aaron Brooks.
Number two, Mike Ryan, quarterback who has had a year.
Neil Lomax, 1984 St. Louis Cardinals.
Funny name.
That's a great name. Lomax, I feel like he had some years, though.
Doesn't belong on these.
Neil Lomax had some years.
Neil Lomax had 4,600 passing yards in 1984.
What?
How have I not heard more?
Air Lomax. I think he was called Air Lomax.
How have I not heard more about Air Lomax? Who was he throwing to?
Mel Gray, I believe. How do I know that?
All right, we'll do wide receivers that had a year next.
Okay. Whittingham, is this your number two or your
number
one? Number two is Christmas. Number one, several years this quarterback has had.
Jeff Garcia.
He did have several years.
Mm-hmm.
Stugatz, number one.
Mark Bulger. Had some years.
Is Mark Brunell too good for some of these lists?
He's a couple years.
Yeah, he's
all over.
Good career, really. Yeah.
Solid. Well, but I mean, McNair's career was better than Brunell's, was it
no
not?
No doubt, yeah.
McNair
yeah.
had a career, mm. not a couple years.
Yeah.
McNair's offensive.
That's the most offensive thing that happened here. And Josh Freeman having two good seasons. I'm very sorry about that. OLI is Brian Sipe.
And number one, Mike, the quarterback who has had a year,
Jameis Winston. 5,000 passing yards.
Wait, though. It's
a top 10 passing yard season of all time.
No, he went 7-9, though, through 30 interceptions, and as soon as they replaced only him, they won the Super Bowl.
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous, and if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it, because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days, but Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed. Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
What did Stugatz just text you, Mike? While Bob Costas was talking very eloquently about the things that are producing anxiety in America and beyond, what did he text you?
Yeah, during your enlightened conversation, I got a text from Stugatz that said, Todd Gurley Ravens. To which we all had to search for what he meant, because there's no report saying that Todd Gurley signed with the Ravens. He was just texting me about a visit Todd Gurley is presently having with the Baltimore Ravens.
According to Adam Schefter, I think it's a 1-year deal now, Mike, so he gets a chance to prove himself again. Right, it's a big deal, Mike. Todd Gurley to the Ravens.
One-year prove it. I love a one-year
prove it deal.
Stugatz.
It's just, so he says it was Adam Schefter. So I look at Adam Schefter's Twitter account, couldn't find anything. Jess went and tracked down the tweet. Mm-hmm. Here are the red flags on this account. 1, the handle, Spots Centra.
But you realize you can read that very, very quickly and think it's, you know, it's...
Mistake number 1. Mistake number 2. There was no check mark. It was that thing that people do to try and fool people of the white circle that kind of looks like the check mark, but is not. Sign number 3, the avatar... It's the SportsCenter logo, but in fairly sizable print above it is the word not. All the red flags, and yet Stugatz is still going. Todd Gurley, Ravens buddy.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Stugatz, you must be excited to have this guy here. He sounds like a Hall of Famer. He sounds like a football player. His voice is, it's deep and it's masculine. And what I love, Stugatz, is when these guys retire, they look like normal human beings. You were so inflated. You were eating so much. Fanica, I saw this with Jeff Saturday. He shriveled to nothing. Joe Thomas shriveled to nothing.
Right, to nothing. But I'm excited, Dan. Even though he prides himself as a Pittsburgh Steeler, this is a New York Jet who has made it to the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
How about that?
A Hall of Famer as a Jet, as a Steeler. But explain to us how you got to, and thank you for joining us, Alan. Explain to us how you got to looking like a normal human being, because you spent the years playing that I saw you super inflated.
I know. It was one of those things I always said when I was done, I was going to give it a shot. I've never been this size in my life. And I said, you know what? I probably don't need to be pushing 320 the rest of my life, running around playing with the kids. So I gave it a shot, man. I just dove right in like I was training for another season. If you asked me to do it today, I couldn't do it. No way could I pull it off. No way.
No way you could get back to 320, or no way you could get back in shape from 320?
Both.
All right. So explain to us how miserable experience it was trying to stay at 320, trying to be someone who ate that way when this is your normal, this is your normal human size.
So I was never this size growing up. I was always the big kid, the chubby kid. I had the husky genes, the whole gamut all the way through. But you know, as you start growing older, you get to college and the strength coach starts telling you what to eat, you know, and how to eat better. So you slowly start eating better. So you got to start consuming more calories to stay that size. And honestly, the only thing I really truly miss from those days of eating was this shake I used to make. And I never counted the calories, but I would eat like three of them a day when I was training in the off season, maybe once, twice during the season. But I mean, that sucker had about 800 something calories in it, and I would eat two or three a day.
Can you explain to us how unhealthy the lifestyle is?
Oh, I mean, it's brutal. I mean, you have to do it the best way you can, right? You have to take care of your body. You have to see the chiropractors, get the massages, spend the extra time in the hot and cold tub and do all that. But I mean, you know, none of us sign up for this and are playing football in high school and have all these dreams of playing in the NFL and these, you know, great dreams. And have any vision of not needing something at the end of the road. I mean, even the high school kid today is waking up on Saturday morning, walking around limping and bruised and battered. But, you know, it's the love of the game. It's the passion. It's everything that makes it what it is while we talk about it 24/7.
Alan, your background is fantastic. I see a Lombardi trophy. I see pictures of you playing for the Steelers. I see the LSU helmet. I see the Steelers helmet. There is one thing missing.
I don't understand.
Where's the Jets helmet?
Where's any of the Jets stuff?
That's the wall right over there. It's nothing but Jets. I've got four big giant, like 20 by 16s over there.
You're hiding it. You're hiding your time with the Jets.
For the record, for people who do not have video, he's pointing to his bathroom. He is pointing to the area of his house where the toilet is. Can you tell us about the happiest you were playing football? If I made you pick a single year.
Oh man, a single year. I mean, the run of the Super Bowl is always at the top of that list. I mean, anything else is you know, second by far. But that run we had in Pittsburgh, going to the Super Bowl, the challenges we had going and having to win out and make it, and ultimately just, you know, living out your NFL dreams, right? You're playing Nerf football in my front yard, dreaming of playing in the NFL, and here I am. Sitting on the sidelines, and you know, you get all the flashes of the lights at everybody on the opening kickoff, and you're just living your dream.
Do you have anywhere proof in the house, somewhere on the computer, a bank statement, something that reminds you and others that at one point you were the highest paid offensive lineman in NFL history?
By the Jets.
By the Jets. I do not. I do not have anything. It might be in a filing cabinet somewhere.
What do you remember about the day that the headlines came out? Faneca, highest paid offensive lineman in pro football history.
Pretty crazy. You know, even going through the process, I didn't even think about it that way until the headlines come out. And then I forget who replaced me right after the draft a couple months later. So it was short lived, but it was nice.
It was Jake Long, by the way.
There you go. That's right.
Alan, as one of the best guards in NFL history, I love a good pulling guard. Yeah. And I want to know, just if you could break, do you have like a top three pulls that you made in your career? Or, you know, like, or could anyone pull?
Block, right?
Could anyone pull better than Alan Faneca?
Somebody whose pull you envied.
Of somebody else's.
Or yours.
You know, or yours, yeah.
Or mine. You know, for me, I think the Super Bowl one is the one that everybody jumps out.
I love that one.
But I had two really good pulls against Cincinnati 1 year, and I don't remember the year, but I mean, the guy stuck his head right in the hole and just didn't look right to, just to see me coming. And it's the ones you dream about as an offensive lineman.
Oh, you're like, God, yeah.
You catch him not looking, and it literally these two pulls, and Coach Cowher put me up for offensive player of the week just off of these two pulls. I completely decimated him, and I can't remember his name right now, but he actually showed up. He was in our training camp the next year.
He can't remember his name anymore either.
So he had to get it out of the way really quick. The awkward in the room silence, but he owned it and moved on. And those two right there are probably the biggest, dream shots.
How does he own it? He comes over to you and says, what? He has to.
Well, Allen doesn't have to go to him. I mean, he has to come to Allen.
But
right.
I'd like to understand the language of the sport. Dogs sniff each other's butts. If you've been pancaked by a pulling guard and you arrive on Faneca's team, you have to what?
He came right over to me, man, and started laughing. He owned it, and tried to move on. And I even feel like a lot of the guys on the team, especially I think the defensive guys, pulled him aside because he was in their group rallied around or surrounded us a little bit. And as he owned it, and we kind of all laughed and moved on.
Who's the shittiest pulling guard of all time?
He's not going to do that.
Well, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. There's a lot of guys that just not built for it, man. It's you got to know what you are and who you can do it with.
Is that the worst question you've received as a Hall of Famer?
Definitely since I've made the Hall, that is the worst.
Okay, congratulations, Chris Cody. Give us a couple of examples here, if you would, of the horrors of the bottom of a fumble pile.
Oh. The things that go on, the finger grabs and the digging in your ear and grabbing of unmentionable areas. Anything goes down there. Anything goes. I can remember one time I was on the bottom and I actually had the ball. 10 guys pile up on top of me. And I had one guy digging in my ear. I got another guy grabbing on my crotch. And I got guys pulling on my arms and I'm trying to hold on to the ball. And I just couldn't hold out any longer. They couldn't get the guys off. And I'm at the bottom of the pile and I'm yelling out. I said, guys, I don't effing have the ball anymore. Get your finger out of my ear. Get your hand out of my crotch. Let's move on with the game.
How many fumbles did you lose that way because they prodded it out an ear hole at a time, a crotch grab at a time? How many times in your career did you have a fumble and lose it because it's not worth it to be at the bottom of that, unable to breathe? It smells bad. And somebody decides they're going to put a hand in your mouth.
Probably two. I remember that one, and I think there was one other one that I actually lost due to the shenanigans at the bottom.
Did you ever apply any shenanigans? Were you a shenanigan
No, applier? No shenanigans. I was definitely down there fighting for it, but clean fighting, I guess you'd call it.
Allen, does Bill Cowher need to get over Jeff Saturday being a head coach? I mean...
I think it's a touchy subject, man. I definitely see Bill's point of view in the profession side, and that's what I take from it, but the profession side. But, I mean, if you're Jeff Saturday and somebody comes to you and says, I'm going to give you this team for 6 weeks and it's your dream shot, I mean, what do? Do you turn that down? I don't think you turn that down. I think you take it and own it, and as long as you're prepared and ready to do it. I think Bill's probably moved on if you asked him a little bit. He's going to hold a little remorse against it, but it's a situation that it is what it is.
How do you watch the game differently than us? Are you watching the guards?
I do. I still watch it like I'm watching film. Looking at all the things that are going on around the peripheral. I'm not really watching the ball anymore. I went to a Miami playoff game in Pittsburgh several years back, and I was going with my brother-in-law, and I was like, man, we can get some seats, on the 50. I know a guy. And he wanted to go sit with his buddies in this new end zone club. And I said, all right, let's go. And by we got there, I loved it. We were just like looking down. It was like watching film. I was sitting there like just telling everybody what was happening. It's great. I just love seeing all the peripheral and kind of the chess match of the game is what I always loved about the game. And so still figuring out that stuff and watching the game in that way is what I enjoy.
We should tell people that the Hall of Famer is with us on behalf of the Pro Football Hall of Fame's health initiatives to treat retired players via the Hall of Fame health program. You had three concussions in your career. November is Epilepsy Awareness Month, and you have had epilepsy. I don't know when you got diagnosed. So what are the parts of this story that you would like to bring more awareness to?
You know, on the epilepsy aspect, you know, I love speaking about it and putting a face on it. You know, Hollywood puts a great face on it and they show you the scariest thing. They're trying to sell tickets and make money, and good on them. But, you know, epilepsy is something that's in and around us, and people have everyday lives. People, you know, probably have epilepsy and you just don't even know it. So I like to put a face on it and say that, you know, people can go out there and do anything. Look at me. I have epilepsy and I'm a professional athlete. There's doctors and nurses and school teachers and all professions out there that do it. And I think, you know, that's definitely a special thing to be able to get up here and say. And I've always been proud of that. You know, with the Hall of Fame Health, you know, they helped me. I got a shoulder replacement this past March, and they're doing some great things trying to help retired players. And it's great to be kind of at the beginning of that and be a part of that, because it's been so helpful. And we're just trying to get out there and help more players.
When you were diagnosed with epilepsy, what age were you and what difficulty did you have with the seizures?
I was a freshman in high school. Christmas Eve, my freshman year, was my very first seizure. You know, it was difficult at first. It was took us a long process of trying to figure out what's going on, the medication that works for me or you. And, you know, you're in high school. You're trying to be a regular kid. You're worried about having one in front of your friends. You know, all those normal things of being a regular teenager and an athlete, and you're dealing with the epilepsy as well. So it's just a process that everybody goes through.
As we mentioned health, have you considered the idea at all? And I don't know what your theories are on the behavior of Antonio Brown, but have you considered the idea that football did that to him?
I have not considered that. You know, football does a lot of things to different people and people. It's a violent game. It's here nor there. If you know, it's the cause of certain things of how people act. Some things might be underlying already. Some things might be brought on from the game. I know that a lot of guys deal with issues just walking away from the game. You know, here you are at the top of your profession and you're 20 something years old and you get cut. Right. What do you do next? It's definitely a different game once you're finishing and once you're done, you have to prepare for.
I can't believe that Stu Gatz has reached into the file cabinet and found a list of top five pulling guards of all time. So we're going to go over this list with Faneca, see how he feels about it.
I get to present this to Alan Faneca, Hall of Famer
who is ashamed of his time with the Jets, but is the highest paid offensive lineman in history for a couple of days.
While
with the Jets. Yeah. Great everything, yeah, really. Yeah. Number five, Stu Gatz.
Russ Grimm. You agree, huh?
Well,
I definitely agree. Great puller.
Number four,
Randall McDaniel.
You don't like that one. Yeah.
Number three,
John Hanna.
Good list.
Thank you.
Number two,
Larry Allen.
Brutal.
Brutal,
he's
right?
Number two.
Brutal puller.
Yeah. Faneca, you're not on the list. The list is you have naming rights, okay? It's the Allen Faneca top five pulling guards of all time.
All right.
Not
all right.
Alan Faneca Memorial, because that would be killing him. But I can't believe you have someone better than Larry Allen.
Oh, there's a definitive number one. Faneca knows. I mean, listen, it's just a couple of guards cutting it up, me and Faneca.
You're not a guard. Number one.
Mike Munchak.
Definitely.
Yep, thank you.
A good top five. Good
thank
top
you.
Five.
Thank you.
Would you change anything about it?
I mean, there's definitely, you know, you could go here or there, but Larry Allen not being number one might be the big one there. I mean, just brutal. But when he would pull around the corner and just, he would swallow guys.
Yeah.
I don't think people understand Larry Allen and the entire, everyone was afraid of him, correct? Everyone admired, respected, and feared him.
Yeah, all of that, all at one time, they're having that same feeling.
Can you give me a couple of guys that had your number, had the Hall of Famer's number, that the night before you're like, oh my God, this is going to be a terrible, terrible day?
You know, so many guys did different little things. For me, it's always been Warren Sapp because he just played the game so different. You had to prepare for him on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday before Sunday to get ready for him. And he just changed everything you had to do. And everything about being an offensive lineman is, you know, you're doing the same thing. You just become the best at it. So you have to make small changes. But when you played Warren, you had to just throw everything out and just play completely different.
Do you watch Aaron Donald and go, thank God I don't have to play against him?
Definitely. Much like watching him play, man. He is in there and he is a beast. He is so big and quick and so good. He's really good with his hands.
Warren Sapp made you prepare differently. How? Was it just quickness because interior defensive linemen didn't have that combination of strength and quickness?
Exactly. And he always widened up a little bit wider. So you kind of had to play it a little bit like a tackle. You know, you got to kind of get off the ball. But at the same time, you're in front of the quarterback's face. So you got to hold your ground. So, you know, in offensive line terminology, it's a little bit like a short set, but a wide short set where you got to hold your ground. And you got to deal with his quickness. And you got to be prepared for his counter move inside. Mm-hmm. So it just really makes your life hard. And, you know, all those games that he dominated, I would watch him, you know, on Monday night at home drinking a beer, watching a game. And I would be like, he didn't prepare. You know, some guys just, they go in there and try and do the same thing. You're not going to win against him like that.
There were rumors of Warren Sapp and bad breath.
Can you validate any of them? Here we go again.
Started by Dan, by the way.
I cannot validate.
It's not me. Dan did it. Dan told me.
Blink that. Twice if it's true.
Validation?
He's got to go the rest of the interview not blinking.
I'm going to keep you on there.
We saw you blink scared.
Alan, thank you for being on with us again. He's on with us on behalf of the Pro Football Hall of Fame's health initiatives to treat retired players via the Hall of Fame health program. Good catching up with you, Alan. Thank you, sir, for being on with us.
Thanks, guys.
You got the blink confirmation. You guys got it.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.